everybody doing?
Well,
that's a deep subject.
Man, I tried.
Let's stand and worship this morning. Hallelujah. Well, it's Palm Sunday, right?
Yes.
When Jesus rode in on the donkey and they were yelling, proclaiming, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I looked it up, what Hosanna means, and it's please pray. Like, please pray us, save us. So he's saying, like, save us. Salvation is here. Salvation is here. Well, we know Yeshua in Hebrew means salvation. Amen? So Tracy was talking in prayer this morning about Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden. And God spoke to Eve and the serpent and said that there's going to be one coming and he's going to crush the head of the serpent. And she was talking about how, you know, Eve was waiting. Like, is this son going to be the head crusher? And Abraham came. Is this going to be the head crusher? Keeps going, generation to generation. Is this the head crusher? Is this the Messiah that we're looking for? And then Jesus came riding in, knowing he was the head crusher, knowing what he had to do to take away the penalty of our sin. Not only the penalty of our sin, he took away, like, the drive to want to sin. He took all that away. And he was going into Jerusalem. Can you imagine just what was going through his mind? I have come to crush the head of the serpent to no longer torment my people. Like, that's who he is. He is the head crusher. Amen? So this morning, are you ready to worship?
Yes.
It's so good to see you. It's so good to see you. Truly, truly, truly. Amen? Here we go.
You hear?
Hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise this morning. We praise You, God. We worship You. You are awesome. We're here for You today, Lord. We love You. We honor, we praise Your name today. Amen and amen. Good morning. God bless you. We already got a sermon today. That was great. I was like, yeah, go PT. It's going to be a good Sunday. Hey, I just want to welcome you. I want to say welcome to Word of Life Family Church. And if you hear nothing else, know this, Jesus loves you, amen. Period. And that in itself will change our lives. It'll change the trajectory of all that we do if we will keep that at the forefront of our hearts and minds. Amen? We're not perfect, but He is. So let's lean into Him, amen, to help us. Amen? So I just want to welcome you. I want to say hello. Happy Palm Sunday. God bless you. And let's open in prayer. Father, we love You and we praise You. And Father, we just give this day to You in this moment in time. Father, right now, I just pray that we'd strip away everything that's human and we would only be concerned about who You are today. Father, I thank You that as we do, I thank You that You promise that You will reveal Yourself to us. We need You. We need understanding. We need a touch from You. We need change from You. So Father, we lean into that today. I pray now in this moment that each person here today hears Your word, feels Your touch, and knows You love them. Father, we welcome Your presence here. We honor You. We glorify You. Hosanna to You, Father. We give You praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's worship.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break, and broken hearts declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we bow before you. Our hearts are surrendered to you. You are our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
So we're watching bigger kid movies with our kids lately because they're growing up from cartoons. And last night we watched half of The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. And we said the witch is like Satan. It's the bad guy. The lion is like Jesus. And a wardrobe is like a closet. Because we don't have wardrobes in our house. We just have closets. And the whole half of the movie, Robert goes, there is no lion. There's no lion. There's a witch. There's no lion. I have not seen the lion. If you've seen the movie, you know there's a lion. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting for him to see the lion. And when the first time we saw the lion is when all of the centaurs, the horse man, they're like, what is that? Why does he have horse legs? You know, there's these creatures that C.S. Lewis thought of in Narnia, and they all bow. They're all, a huge field of them are bowing, and then the lion comes out of the big tent. Every knee will bow before the lion. We also know what happens in that story is he gives his life for Edmund, and then he's like a lamb. Anyways, that was just like big screen in my head this morning, and my kids just saw it. And I hope if you've seen The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, maybe that can communicate to your heart too. And that even if you don't see the lion right away, we know the end of the story. The lion's coming. So, there's no lion? No, there is.
Hallelujah. I also was thinking, like, so the feast of Passover is coming up this week. It's on Friday. And they were commanded by God to remember that the blood of the Lamb was put on the doorposts to save them from the death angel, from death. And we know it was pointing to Jesus, showing us Jesus, that he was the Passover Lamb that was chosen to give up his life for another. To be on that cross and say, it is finished. I've done it. I've done it all. It's finished. So now he can rise up and be the lion. Can you come up here a second? Phil didn't know what songs we were going to sing this morning. Neither did Jill last night, knowing. So it's kind of fun. But I kept looking at his shirt, let the lion roar. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he fights on behalf of us. He fights our every battle. We get to rest in knowing that the lion's got it. It's so good. Thanks. That's why I kept looking. I was pointing at him. I was like, your shirt has a lion on it. This week, when I was just studying and preparing for an upcoming women's conference I'm going to get to go speak at, and I was listening to a message, and I heard him say, "Behold," and I thought of the scripture of John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world." Behold, Look. Gaze upon him. Here he comes. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away my sin. We have to personalize it. The woman that came in and she broke the perfume and anointed the feet of Jesus, and she wept before him, and she dried his feet with her tears. And all the Pharisees were like, what is this person doing? Do you know who's at your feet? He's like, yes. Those who have been forgiven love much. But those that have not been forgiven much, they don't. What the Pharisee didn't realize is he's been forgiven just as much as this woman. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. That's why we needed Jesus. He saw you. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Going into the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if you can take this cup from me, because he knew that all of our sin would be put upon him. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Okay, Lord, I see them. I see their faces before me. They were the joy that was set before him. So he endured the cross, and he was the perfect Passover lamb for us, for me. Behold the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of Tara. He's come to take away the sins of the world, and I'm one of them that he came for. So are you. Behold the Lamb of God. Lord, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us look at Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Just wanted to add to that besides taking the sins of the world away, during the last song they talked about the blood of Jesus, breaking chains. And I could picture Jesus, who's already accomplished forgiving our sins, providing for our healing and everything we need, seated at the right hand of the Father. And on earth, I could see people bound in chains. Hands like this, chains around them. And the chains could be sickness. It could be poverty. It could be relationship difficulties. It could be anything. And I could see from the throne where Jesus was seated, droplets of blood coming down. And it would come down, and when it hit the chains just burst open. The chains burst. They were destroyed. And the people can walk free. And so that's what the blood has done for us as well. Can break our chains, whatever our chains are. So we just need to receive that. Because it's finished. He did it already. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to see and see. Lord, we thank you that you came to seek and to save the lost. We're so grateful. Just imagine the life of Jesus. It wasn't like all of a sudden he was 33 and poof, he knew now he was the Messiah. He grew up knowing. At 12 years old, can you imagine a 12-year-old seeing his friend mistreating, just being disobedient to his parents, and he's like, I have to go to the cross for him. Because he can't do it without it. He can't figure this out without me. Can you imagine being a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old? Like, just think about that. The life of Jesus. Tracy and I were talking about this week. A 20-year-old without sin. But he saw his brothers and sisters. He saw his fellow man, and he said, I have to go. I have to go. I have to go for them. Imagine what that looked like. I see that one and she's struggling. She's in pain. I've got to go for that one. I've got to go to the cross for that one. So good. He's so good. He obeyed his father unto death so we could be free. He's so good. You're so good. You're so good. Amen. You're so good. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let us see it. Let us see it. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days, I've been held in your hands. The moment that I wake, till I lay my head, oh, I will see of the goodness of God.
goodness is running after me. It's running after me.
It's all my life.
It's all my life. You have been faithful.
You've never left me.
All my life. You have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
We sing of your goodness. We sing of your goodness. Lord, help us to see it. Help us to see it. In your goodness, you sent Jesus. And it tore the veil from top to bottom, and that veil separated us from the presence of the Lord. In the days of old, in the tabernacle, it was only the high priest who could go into the presence of the Lord. But the veil was torn from top to bottom, which signifies that we can go into the presence of the Father. You're good. You are so good. Your word says that I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you, no matter what you go through in this life. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Someone needs to hear that this morning. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. Lord, I thank you that only you can settle that in our hearts. We fix our eyes on Jesus, and I thank you that you give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see your goodness this morning. You'll never leave us. You will never forsake us. You've made a way. When there didn't seem like there was a way, you made a way so we could return to the Father. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. And I love this. It says that while we were still a long way off, we were dead in our sin, it said that He loved us first. He gave His life for us first. He loved you first. So now you can see it and you can love Him back. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. God's good. As we were singing that, I was reminded it'd be quick for our minds to say, well, you know, God, you've always been good. We sing that, but I don't think we've always experienced good. And that can play a question, and I think the enemy would love us to question that, but we have to understand, even in the midst of that, God in His love was running after us. And we have to remind ourselves of that. The enemy wants us to look at all the things that went wrong all through our life and to classify that that must have been a God thing, when in reality it was the enemy trying to turn our heads to the truth that God loved us from the very beginning and He had Christ in mind for us. And so even though we experience stuff, Maybe I'm alone. Anyone ever experienced stuff? And but thankfully, I said this last week, it's just was revelation to me, so I share it, I'll share it again. When the scripture says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because he's with me, that we're walking through it. We can walk through it, and he's with me. So no matter what I'm going through, he's not with me. He says he's with me. And some of us walk through stuff. Crummy stuff. The world's got a lot of crummy to offer. But he says, I'll never leave you. He's always there. Amen? This is what we have to focus on. This is where we have to keep our minds, because it would be easy to be distracted. Yeah, but this, and yeah, but this, and yeah, but this, and you're right. All of the yeah, buts will continue until we're in heaven. But he promised that if we'll lean on him, if we'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all of these things will be added unto us. That's what Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says. And it's his truth. Amen? So then we can say, with that understanding, we can say, God, you are so good. Thank you for always being good. Even when I wasn't. Even when I wasn't good, or even when my life wasn't going good, you were good, running after me. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Amen? Come on, give him praise. He's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Awesome. Give our worship team a hand. They did a great, amazing job. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to take time to receive our offering. Remind you, we're not passing the plate. We do have boxes on the wall. You can drop in your offerings at that time. If you need an envelope for cash giving, please raise your hand. We'll get someone to get that to you, and so you can receive record of that. And then now we're going to let Brian share and receive with us today.
Good morning. So, this is Bluetooth. This is not Bluetooth. Still trying to get it figured out. When did it change? You know, it's like you had a remote 40 years ago. That wasn't Bluetooth. This is not. But this is, because they're the same. Sometimes you think you're going to say something that's going to be funny. And then the thing you say after that is. And then the thing after that everyone thinks is funny. So it's a three-step approach. It was planned. I found something. It's, what was that? Thank you. More of a sympathy laugh, I can tell. I mean, I picked up on that. Like, found this article, the sharing, a website called Learn Religions. Interesting. The Apostle Paul emphasized the idea that gift giving is a matter of the heart. Our gifts must come from the heart, voluntarily, not reluctantly, or from a sense of compulsion. God drew, well, from the Proverbs 22:8. Scripture reiterates the idea many times about giving to the poor. Deuteronomy 15:10-11 states, you shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor. Not only does God love cheerful givers, but he blesses them. Proverbs 22:9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. So we will be blessed for being generous. That is really the moral of it. And it's that God goes out of his way to bless the giver. That it shouldn't be like out of, you know, well, here comes the plate. I guess I got to put something in it. I mean, at this point, we should be like, yes, I am glad with or pleased with what I have earned this week or this pay period or whatever, however you would take your income. And be prepared and be excited to give, because there's certainly a need for it. I mean, it comes in to here, but it goes out and it reaches people, and it's used wisely. It truly is. And even if it wasn't, you would still benefit from the idea of giving to God because he told you to. Amen. For no other reason. You know, if you don't know what happens to it, that's really none of your business, but I will say rest assured it is. Truly. But yes, I mean, it's out of a commandment, and God wants to bless you, and he's like, hey, if you do this, it's going to keep coming in. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
Let's do the next screen. According to God's word, let's confess and claim together. Jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, gifts and unexpected income, increase in sales and commissions, new clients and customers, inheritances, hidden resources, inventions, new business opportunities, lost or stolen items returned, checks in the mail, investment growth, promotions and advancement, supernatural favor, and an abundance to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for blessing us and creating the idea of us helping one another, Lord, and how you encourage that. And we know that if you can get it to us, or if you can get it through us, Lord, that you can get it to us, Lord. And we know that we are rewarded in ways that we may not ever truly understand, Lord. But we thank you for your patience with us in becoming more cheerful, helping people. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. And this morning, things will be done a little bit different. So enjoy.
To go to camp, we can get you signed up, and also we need
counselors.
Yes, please, we need counselors. We couldn't do camp without the counselors. Yes. So if you are interested in counseling any of those ages, also see us. Our next announcement is Midweek Link. We have our mid-Bible study on Wednesday at 6:30, and it's for all ages. So if you are alive, if you are breathing, come Wednesday nights, because we get to dig into the Word. We get to dig into what Pastor Jason speaks on Sunday mornings a little bit deeper, mm-hmm. get more revelation knowledge, and it's for all ages, adults, youth, and our little kids. Also, this Sunday, next Sunday, April 17th is Resurrection Sunday.
Woo-hoo!
So please, 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 please invite your friends, invite your coworkers to come and celebrate with us.
Invite your enemies.
And your enemies, please invite your enemies. They need to know that resurrection power lives and breathes on the inside of us. Yes. So come on Resurrection Sunday, April 17th. We will have coffee and cookies ahead of time, so if you want to come a little early, get your seat because it's going to be packed out.
Woo!
Also, we have activities for the kids. So
fun.
We have anybody that's sixth grade and under, there will be going back and having an awesome time with our teachers. Miss Michelle is going to have an awesome word for them. So please invite those with kids, invite those that are of any age, because Pastor Jason is going to bring an awesome message also. So we are excited. It's Resurrection Sunday.
Woo!
Next Sunday. This Sunday.
This Sunday.
April 17th. Please, please. Good morning. Word of Life Family Church, this coming Sunday.
Why are your announcements so hard?
Okay.
Okay, right.
That's all we can handle, folks. That's all. No, I mean, that's all we can. Fun. That was fun. I asked them that, hey, we should try to do that. Let's see if you guys can, do the video announcements. That'd be awesome. And I was having some meetings, and I could hear them hilariously laughing, and it took them some time to get it done. But they got it done, and they did a good job. Didn't they do a good job? Do you know what they were talking about? Okay, that's the important part. We're excited about that. So, amen. I want to take a moment. What we want to do here is I want to have our kids come up. We want to pray over them. So all of our kids, we want you to come up. We want to pray you before you go to class. So come on up. We want to see you, how good looking you are. Good look. Hey, looking sharp there. Wow, nice, nice. Good looking kids. Give our kids a hand. Don't they look amazing? Woo! Man, we are blessed. Amen. Slide in here. Now, I just want to do this. We love our kids, and they are a very important part of our lives and our church. And so we want to just pray over them. I want to remind you that I know they're just children, but they know Jesus. And when they know Jesus, they have the Spirit on the inside of them, which makes them, according to God's word, mighty warriors. Amen? And so they can help make change and to help bring, lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And all of the things the Scripture says is available and possible even with our children. In fact, sometimes they believe it better than we do, and it's more powerful. Isn't that amazing? So honor our kids. We love our kids, and they're going to be taught today, and we have amazing teachers that are going to help teach them and train them and show them. But let's just reach out our hands and pray over our kids today. Father, we thank you for our kids. We know that they are amazing in that you made them that way. God, we know that you have a plan for them, and the plan is good. And so, Father, we just place a hedge of protection. We ask you that, Father, you would just be with them and before them, go before them and beside them. Father, we thank you that because of who they are, the enemy would try to steal, kill, and destroy, but they're mighty warriors that can stand against the wiles of the enemy. But we will come in agreement to protect them and pray over them, Father, as they go out and do what you've called them to do. So, Father, I just pray that they would hear your word today, they would listen, and they would let it be sown deep in their hearts so that it might provide great fruit. We declare that now over them, and again we say thank you for our kids. They are blessings in our life. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Give our kids a hand as they go to class. You are blessings. They're like so excited. I want to go. I'm like, yeah, that's fun. Hey, okay, everyone stand up. I know you've been standing for a little while. Stand up. And my hope is that we're going to take the next 3 minutes, and we're going to say hi to each other. So this side, make sure you go see this side, and this side, go see this side, and this side, go see all sides. And let's do that for a second. Let's just greet each other.
Hi.
All right, let's find our seats. Someone said, you opened up a can of worms faster. I love, though, that we get to visit with each other. One of my most favorite things of getting together is the fellowship time, the time to hang out with each other. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to say welcome to also our online campus. They're watching. Thank you for watching. Yeah, yes, we're thankful for that. I remind you, if you're not able to be here, that is an opportunity. We prefer you to be here. It's better to be together. But if you just can't, it's a great option to do that. So I encourage you to be a part of that today. How many love the Lord today? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, how many, if the Lord walked in, you'd be like, yeah, we love you. How many would be like really excited? Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. Good. Good. Just checking. because he's here, by the way. Scripture clearly tells us that he's here. He's with us. And all of the time, he doesn't leave us. Now, for some, that can be comforting. And maybe for some, you're like, ooh, scary. No, that's awesome. That's good news, by the way. So don't let the enemy scare you with that. That's good stuff. Well, today is Palm Sunday. You've already heard some of that information. You know, this is the time, of course, when Jesus rode in on a donkey, which was different than what they would have expected. Of course, we know that Scripture talks about that a donkey comes in peace, is more of a peaceful idea, and Jesus came that way. Of course, we know he is the Prince of Peace, and he came differently, but boy, did he come with power, in that he broke the enemy's hold on us when he came. And he lived, and he died, and he rose again. Amen? And we get to experience that every single day. We get to experience that truth if we have him in us. And so I'm excited for that today. So look that up. It's pretty amazing. One of the things about Palm Sunday is funny is that, you know, the week that they came in, they were coming in, the Israelites and all were coming in for feasts and the Passover feast. And they came in and they were celebrating because Jesus was riding in. And it's interesting that the same people that were cheering for Jesus that day, just a few days later, another week later, were the same people that were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Which is an interesting twist. And it's a perfect example of what we call an expectation versus expectancy. How they had a mind of how God was going to work, and it didn't look quite line up with what they were thinking, and so they thought, oh man, this must not be the real thing, and so all of that, but we know that was not the truth. It makes me feel better to understand that God's got a better plan than what I have a plan for, but sometimes we think our plan's better until we see his plan, and we're like, oh man, we should have stayed with his plan. Amen. Anyone ever experienced that before? Okay, good. Everybody awake today? Yeah. All right, good. I'm making sure that... Pastor, you're laughing? All right, good, good. Well, good morning. Amen. If you have your handouts, pull them out. We're going to get into a sermon series we've been in over the last couple weeks. Excited to see you all. You guys are looking great. And when we look at this series, we've been looking over the last few weeks, really changing basically the heart of this message is to rewire kind of our brains, our thought processes. How many know that the Bible says when you received Christ, you became a new creation? Does anyone know that? Say amen. Okay, so the new creation in us, that new man is in our spirits. But we have this body, this soul, these emotions that are still trying to catch up with what God's already done on the inside. And so he gives us a pattern. He gives us some ideas, some thoughts on how we can help partner with God in that we can become more like him every day. We have a job. We have a responsibility. And we're finding that it's part of our job is he's done it. He's finished it. The work is done. Praise God. All the things that he went and to the cross for and paid for are done and finished. And then he gives us this gift, and he expects us to open the gift, to receive the gift, and to apply the gifts day in, day out. Okay, the gift of resurrection, the gift of freedom, the gift of these things. And so we know that he's asked us to use this as an opportunity. And he also gives us a warning in the scripture that we've been looking at in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which is kind of our context scripture for this series. And we're going to read that together, but it's really about renewing our minds. So let's look at it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Now, how do we do this? Verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So we see that God is saying that he wants us to come in partnership with him, not to just sit back and say, "Okay, bless me." That he has a plan that he wants us to participate. Now, I will tell you, we can do all our own plans all day long and not get accomplished what he wants to accomplish. We have to partner with him. We have to make sure that we're in him and that he's in us. In other words, we got to receive Christ. But when we do, he says, "Welcome aboard. Come on in and let's do this thing, what I've already destined for you to do." And so it's a partnership. I know for some that would sound like, "Wow, that's, you know, you're really stretching on that one, Pastor, because God is sovereign and he's mighty," and he is, absolutely, and that will never change. But the beautiful thing about Christ is that he invited us to have relationship with him, not just fear him. Not to not fear him, we should still fear in reverence of him, but he also says, "I want to not only be your father, your Lord, but I also want to be your daddy." And so that's the beautiful thing about what God is. He's both those, and of course, that's what Christ came for us and brought for us. And he says, "Now that you're part of the family, now that you're adopted in, let's go do this thing together." Amen? And that's really what we're doing. This is really the heart of what we're doing is in this series is we're renewing our mind to that truth, to go back to what God has called us for, empowered us for, to do and to say and to think. Now, we started this series, and the first installment was with our belief system. And we found out that the belief system really starts at the heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." We also said in that scripture, said, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. So we see the heart is an important part. And then we moved to the mind. And we said that we started to renew the mind, the heart that changes the mind. So Isaiah chapter 26, I just kind of giving you a recap. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And then we said that word stayed is the word concrete, firm, strong, to stay right there. You could say in a positive way to be stubborn. Anybody stubborn in here? Don't raise your hand. But you know what I mean. Somebody's raising their hands for someone else. Bad idea. But to be stern, firm in who we are in him and to follow after him. And so what are we rewiring? So we said there was a process. Next slide, where's the process? The process is this, is our belief system. We said it starts with beliefs. Our beliefs really come from information and experiences, okay? And then from that beliefs, we kind of develop thought process. And then, of course, the thought process will allow us now to have different actions and attitudes. And basically, when that happens, now we are there's an outcome, there's results, something that we're walking out. And this is the process in which we need to rewire because though we're a new man inside, the old man is still trying to rule. And so the process is that God says, I need you to renew. Now, this is a very, maybe even more difficult understanding when he just says, renew your mind. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't let the pattern, the process, be the thing that rules you. And what he's saying is that even though this is a process, it isn't the only hope for you, that we can have better than that through Christ. We can renew that. And he says this in this scripture. And so this is what we're trying to do. So now we're going to look at the attitudes. We looked at the heart. I said the beliefs. Last week we talked about the heart or the thoughts. And this week we're going to look at the attitudes and the actions. Say, I don't have an attitude. Okay, good. You're confessing that. Positive, right? Over you? All right, good. We better pray. Father, we love you and we praise you and we ask you, Father, that in this time, in this moment, that you would be with us. Pray, God, that as I speak today, that somehow through my humanness, you would speak through me. Father, we lay aside everything from the week, everything that we preconceived ideas, baggages, all that. We lay that down for a moment, at least just for the moment, to focus on you. God, we know that you can take care of those things, and so you want to as well. But at this point, all we do is just seek first your kingdom and hear you today. And so we lean in. We ask you that, Father, in that leaning in, that you would meet us, as your word says. Give us new revelation today, new understandings. Father, open up our minds to concepts that we maybe didn't understand. I pray that you would bring a rhema knowledge, a revelation knowledge that only can come for you today. That we can get aha moments from you. We pray this over the room today. I pray that the minds are fixed on you. Their hearts are ready to receive from you. And Father, I thank you. And we just ask that we wouldn't be the same when we leave here today, because we're going to be with you. We're continuing to be in you. Father, I thank you that I pray that as we bask in this presence and with you, and as you speak to us, that we begin to smell like you, speak like you, and have that fragrance of you, Father. So why? So that we can further your kingdom and we can connect others with you. We thank you that you can do all of that in this moment. You're that big and that awesome. And so we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Today, as we look at this, the attitudes and the hearts, we're going to talk about this. What are we going to do with bad reports? What do we do with bad news? Now, I know probably none of you have ever had any bad news, right? If you're breathing, you probably have experienced some kind of bad news. And I was telling someone this week, I was like, I don't really like talking about bad news. It's not my favorite thing to talk about. I would love to get off of that. But what I realized is that in order to understand the goodness of God, we have to understand that even though bad comes, God is not that. And have to remind ourselves that we can be doing, we see Scripture, we could be doing all of the right things. And there's still an enemy that says it comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. There's still an enemy that's trying to derail us, even though we are focused in and repressing in. He doesn't let go. But by the way, for those of you that are saying, well, maybe it's better if I just don't, he's been doing it even before we received him. He's been compiling things on us so that we would never have the revelation knowledge of who Jesus was for us. And so it's not like he's not doing it. He's always doing it. Whether you've received him yet or not, you remember before you received Christ, all of it was like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And then one day, suddenly something happened and something opened up. You're like, whoa, I get it now. I don't get everything, but I get that he cares for me. He loves me. He's got better in store for me. And understand that's the truth. And so what happens is, as we walk in our lives and we think and we go forward, sometimes we begin to lose some of that. Some of that excitement kinds of wane. Because why? Because we sometimes let the weights of the world weigh us down. And I can't take away the weight. God doesn't say, pray for the weight to go away. In fact, Jesus said, you're going to suffer like I suffered. Thanks, Jesus. But he was giving us a great warning. But remember, he continued to say, don't worry, I've overcome the world. And you're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we're equipped. Say, I'm equipped. Say, I can handle it. With God, I can handle it. All right. I want us to remind ourselves of that. But we are going to face some stuff. And so I want to look at how we, what do we do with it? And so in the short and to the point answer, we start with what we left with last week in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It says, and the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Somebody say, do it. And the God of peace will be with you. And so we can see this truth. And so what's this saying? It says when we meditate, I like to say mullinate. I don't know if you've been around me enough long. I like to use the word mullinate. It's my word. You can't have it. You can use it. But it's like meditate and thank you. My wife, I could not live without her. All right. Mulling things over, meditating, you get mullinate. Like where you're kind of just leaning into it, and it says to meditate on these things and lean it. You can see that it's not a one-time deal. Understand that when he's saying meditate, when he's saying mullinate, he's saying that we stay in it, remind ourselves daily of it, saturate ourselves in it, keep ourselves in the crock pot, so to speak, of God's word, and just let it us soak in all of the goodness that he is. So that we can taste like him. That we might move and make differences. That like when we're there, it's almost like he's there. Not for our benefit, but for those that might see it. That might call on his name because of it. And so this is the critical part of why we need to handle things correctly and walk in it right way. Because others are looking for something different than what we experience, that their experience. And if we give them the same old stuff, they'll move on. Just thought I'd let that settle for a minute. Thank you, mullinating it. The scripture says when you meditate on God, the things of God, and God, it activates peace. This is what it says. Come on, Lord, just give me peace. He says, what are you meditating on? I want peace. Come on, give peace. He's like, do you? Because I've given you the keys. Meditate on peace. And you meditate on things of God, you're going to activate peace that's already being given to you in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit was deposited into you in the moment that you received Christ, which, by the way, includes peace. Amen? If we meditate and we've got God, then we'll activate joy in our lives. And we need joy because the scripture says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need strength so that we can carry out and to do the things that we want to do. So if we do the instructions, if we do what he's asked us to do, we're going to get courage. We're going to have hope. And not only are we going to have for ourselves, but we're going to promote that in our everyday walk. Paul says to awaken it in this passage. You look at it again in verse 8. It says, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, things that are of good report. Tap your neighbor and say, I got a good report. Tell the other neighbor, I got a good report. Do you have a good report? Because I think in a world that we live in, at like no other, in the world that we see bad news after bad news after bad news, I see it as a church, as believers of all people, we should be sharing good news. We should have a good report. Right? It isn't always easy. But if we're meditating on Him and what He's done, then it will come out of us. I believe that we can be in a place where even when bad news, that we can respond in a beautiful, positive, praiseworthy kind of way. Going to be work, yes, but we can do it. What I think Psalms chapter 112 tells us that we can, by the way. In verse 6 and 8 it says, surely He, that would be the believer, so she, the believer, surely He will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. Verse 7, He will have no fear of bad news. This is scripture. This is not pastor. This is God's word. He will have no fear of bad news in his heart. His heart is steadfast, which, by the way, is the same word that we learned earlier about stayed, that concrete, that stubborn, same word. Trusting in the Lord, his heart is secure, same word. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. Amen. Say with me, we win. Amen. Say with me, we win. Anyone play sports before? Raise your hand if you played sports. Raise your hand if you've seen sports. All right, good. Okay. Anyone ever cheered for a sports team? All right. And when you get involved in the game and they win, you're like, yeah, he won. We get excited, right? I've seen some really calm people really transform into something different during it. Why? Because they got excited. We did it. Like they invested. They were invested. All of a sudden they're like, wow. How much greater is the win that we have in Christ? Amen. But are we meditating on it? Are we in it? Are we meditating on His word? Are we meditating on the things that are happening to us? Because if we focus there, I'm going to call it the Eeyore syndrome. You'd hear everybody playing it in their heads somehow loud. We all know this, and we know that we don't like to be around that. So I want to make sure I'm not that. Amen? So what do we do with bad news? What do we do with it? And here's this. Paul says if we think about good things, if we think about good reports, it says, and Psalm says it will have no fear of bad news. So the first point is this. The news you believe is much more important than the news you actually receive. The news that you believe, what do you believe about who you are? What do you believe about who God is? What do you believe about what God can do is more important than the news that you receive. This will only work if you will meditate as Paul asks us to meditate. In another passage of Scripture prior to this, it says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's a mindset. There's a steadfastness to say, I'm going to praise Him. Not for the thing that's exciting or the thing that's not exciting. He's not saying we limit or judge our praise on that. We just praise because God is awesome and He's done some amazing things for us. And as we do that, we'll build our belief system, and it's much more important than the news we receive, because the news often, the reports that we hear don't often line up with the word for our lives. And if we'll buy into it, we will lose our joy. So let me just suggest this, that all of us are investigators, private investigators, I officially give you the badge. And we are going through life every day. And we are, without realizing it, we are gathering information. Our brains are amazing in that they're constantly growing information, bringing information, and they're classifying information in different categories. And so as we go about doing this, if we're not careful, if we're not using this heart or this level of understanding, if we're not staying strong in this, in our investigations will be biased. If we are only receiving the investigation that the world gives us, or that we are looking at, we'll develop an incorrect vision or perspective of who God is and about the situation. This is what we call, very simply, this is what we call hopelessness. This is where we find ourselves in depression and hopelessness and disappointment because of where our focus is. Now, it's a real thing. It's a real disease. I'm not belittling that. I'm not suggesting that it's all your fault. But I am saying this, that God has given us the keys to climb out of that. What the enemy wants for evil, God has for good, wants to turn for good. And the promise is that we could stay on Him. We can help turn the page, change what our minds are thinking on, which is going to, the information that we're receiving, now we filter it through God's word and His truths, and now it looks totally different. And now when we receive it, we believe something better, more in line with His word, which means we think better, which means that we have better attitudes and better responses to what's going on. So it's more important to see, to understand what we believe is more important than what we receive. Jeremiah tells us, God says this, He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I just want to remind our minds of this. That this is in Jeremiah, this is early on in Scripture. That I have plans for you to prosper, not harm you, to plans to give you hope in a future. And of course, we can reference right back at Romans 12. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will as it's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect will. Amen? We're going to look at some Scripture now, some heavy Scripture in Numbers chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, Old Testament, Numbers chapter 13. To better explain this, oh man, out of time already. It was those announcements. There were two. Oh, I'm just kidding. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to read a few of the Scripture. I'm going to jump around. I encourage you this week to read that chapter into 14. It's not super long, but it's insightful, and we add what we're saying here to that, and I think it'll very help you in everyday life. But basically, the spies are sent out to the Promised Land. The Promised Land was a place where God promised for His Israelites, for the Jewish folks to have this land. The Bible says that it flows with milk and honey. It's a good land, and it was promised a long time ago. And so we find ourselves here in Numbers chapter 13, where Moses, the Lord is speaking to Moses, and He says, "All right, Moses, I want you to send men to explore the land of Canaan." He goes on to say in verse 1 of chapter 13, He says, "The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to Israel, to the Israelites." Okay, I want you to see that He says, "I'm giving it to you." Okay, He says, "I'm going to give it to you." And so when Moses Moses did what He asked and sent the guys out. And so the men are exploring the land. And in verse 21, says, so they went up and explored the land. And it talks about the land and where they went and all of that. And verse 23 says, when they reached the valley, they cut off a branch bearing a single, listen to this, they cut off a branch, a single cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Here's the note. Two of them had to carry it on a pole between them. I just bought some grapes the other day. It didn't take two men to carry it. In fact, I was like, is this, how much? For this much? What? So we can see, we see the example that it was a pretty amazing land that the fruit would grow that plush and that great. And so verse 25 says, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. So they hung out 40 days checking this out and looking at the land and exploring the land. And really what the whole heart was that God was trying to give them a vision of what they were about ready to receive. Okay, that's all he was trying to do is, I want you to go out and see it. If you can see it, you might believe it. And so he gave them this opportunity to go check it out. And so they came back to Moses. After 40 days of exploring the land, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community, it says. In verse 26, last part, it says, and there they reported to them the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. And they gave Moses its account. We went into the land which you sent to us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. Guys, bring it in. You know, that's how I see it. And then verse 28, but got a lot to say about that. But the people who live there, this is what they continue to say. It's good, it's flowing with milk and honey, we're excited, here's the fruit. But there's a people who live there who are powerful and their cities are fortified and very large. And they continue to Eeyore. Verse 31 says, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread to the Israelites a bad report. You see that? They go on to say, to make it worse for themselves, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. You notice they made some, jumped to some assumptions about themselves. How many times have we done that about ourselves? How many have we done that, sometimes done that about others? God didn't tell them that. He said, go look at it, check it out. It's good, it's ready, I'm ready for it, I'm getting it ready for you. Check it out. And they went and checked it out, and instead of getting a vision, the enemy derailed the vision. They were sent out to survey the land, to get vision, and instead the enemy hijacked their focus. And because they allowed that to happen in them, it blocked their future. The next point is this. The news you believe will determine the future you receive. We don't often experience our realities. We often experience our perception of reality. Often we make assumptions. Remember the expression, can't see the forest for the trees? Right, someone is so deeply in involved in the details of the problem, they can't look outside the situation at all. Right? And someone could be so involved and so that even when the guys are carrying in the super huge juicy grapes, that's the actual reality. Even seeing that happen on their shoulders, they're still worried because we're like grasshopper. Daniel's son. I don't know why that said that. I don't know. Focus. Yeah. We're never going to get there. Wait, you were just there hanging out 40 days. You didn't get killed. Right? Now, this is... Here they are doing this. Now, here's a better choice. Here's another quick illustration, just a bunny trail. I'll admit it, it's a bunny trail. But it's important to see this. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. We would probably say that she, even though she was excited that she was to give birth, it was probably in somewhat bad news. Why? Because she wasn't married. In fact, she had not had sexual relations with anyone yet. She knew that in her heart, but it didn't mean that everyone believed that. And in Luke chapter 1:38, could have been considered bad news, but she says, "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." She took a bad news and she turned it and said, "Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you." Now, I know this. I don't know if we realize the detriment this put her in. You know, back then they stoned ladies for this. This was a big deal. This wasn't like, oh, whoops. No, this was big deal. But yet, because of her dedication to God, to stay in His Word, know He's good, she said, "May your word be fulfilled," trusting Him. Matthew 9, verse 20 and 22, here's another one. "Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind Him and touched the edge of His cloak." Verse 21, she said to herself, listen, she said to herself, "If only I touch His cloak, I will be healed." The bad news was the doctors gave up on her. She tried everything else. But Jesus. And something in her says, you know what? The news I receive and what I believe more about what God is, more than what the news is, it's going to determine my future. And she says, I'm going to say that God said that I can be healed. I'm going to be healed. In verse 22, Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," He said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. That's a good way to deal with bad news. And so I'm showing you these two spots. Now we're going to go back to the wrong way with the Israelites. But I want you to see that it is possible to do it the right way. And this is only two of hundreds of truths where God intervened. The third point here is this, as we look more into it. The news you receive is not nearly as important as the report that you believe. See, those spies, what we have to remember about those spies, there were 12 of them that went. They should have remembered. They were investigators, but they should have remembered the beginning. Before they were sent, they were told long before, years before, the families were taught, generations before were taught, that God had promised them this land. And by the way, He also told them that there were giants in the land and that the land was fortified. They already knew going in. Let that settle it for a second. They already knew it. So what they investigated, it wasn't new information. It shouldn't have been new information. It was, in fact, it was promised to them over 170 times before this in Scripture. Isn't that interesting? Is it interesting that even though God has said it, if they don't meditate, if they don't allow that to stick, that they won't matter what they hear? He said, "The land I've given you," past tense. Here's Exodus 3:8. "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and I've put them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, all the Ites." It wasn't news. It wasn't brand new news. This was generations before that God had said this. Why am I saying this? The very enemies that they were running from was the enemies that God said have already overcome. But if we don't meditate on that truth, we'll let the perceived reality rule us. Quiet in here. God said all through Scripture, I'm giving you the land, I'm giving you the land, I've given it to you. Over and over and over and over, He promised. I gave, it's given. Past tense. Pastor, why are you harping on this so much? We know the Israelites, they were, I can't believe they were that way. How many reports have we bought that are against what God says about you? How many times have I said to myself, you're never going to do this right. You're never going to blah, 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 blah. How many times have I put my place because I haven't stayed on His truth, renewed my mind, stopped conforming to the pattern of the world, the old man? If I find myself right in the middle of exactly what the Israelites were doing. You know what's cool? Just as God won't give up on you, He didn't give up on them. And there were two, Caleb and Joshua, that did ultimately receive that opportunity into them. And it was because the news of what they believed was more important than what they heard, what they saw. Because the news they believed is what God already had said time and time again. The long story short story of it is this, that God brought them in through Joshua. Joshua says, no, God said it, we're doing it. Well, that's too simple. Yep, exactly. The only way that we get it is if we continue to saturate ourselves, meditate on, mullinate on that truth. Because guess what? Family members, world, TV, life is often speaking opposite to what God's word says. Yes. And I said a couple weeks ago, I want to remind you, it's not people that's the problem. It's an enemy that we're facing. That's the problem. And we would know that, and we would accept that, and we would see that more clearly also if we stayed in here. This is good news. The good news is, just as He promises, right? There's a land flowing with milk and honey way before. If we go back to the end here, there's a land flowing with milk and honey for us today also. Because John 10:10 says, starts off, the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. There's an answer. What do we meditate on? We meditate on the first part, oh man, the enemy's coming, oh man. Or do we meditate on the answer? But I have come so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. By the way, not the normal, natural way to think. But you're not a normal, natural individual. You've been made a new creation in Christ when you received Jesus. You've been entitled to a whole new way of good news, the gospel, the promise of Jesus and all that He is. And that's what we get to celebrate next week. But by the way, we're celebrating it this week and tomorrow and every day, because that's, every day is Resurrection Sunday for a believer. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Now to thoroughly confused everybody, praise God. Do you see how I gave a bad report? And no one said, oh no. You see how easy it is to slide in there. We got to meditate on the right things. Amen? Don't let the enemy fool you. Don't let the enemy lie to you. The giants you're facing, the bad news that you're hearing, whatever is not the final word. Because He is the Word. He is the Word. And it's already been established long before. By the way, the story has already been written for us if we'll step into it. We're not trying to obtain or gain anything. He already paid for it. He already says, it's yours. But I didn't deserve it. Yeah. But it's already paid for. Have you ever gone to a restaurant? Had your meal and go to pay for it? And like, oh, you can't pay for it. What? What's wrong? It's already been paid for. Whew, yeah. Can I get the prime rib too? No. The whole point is it's already been paid for. The whole truth is that it's already been finished. We've already been adopted and promised. And it's the enemy that's telling us otherwise, not God. But we see a lot of stuff and we hear a lot of stuff, and we will, if we're not careful, we will come in agreement with the enemy over our life. I mean, not purposely. Hey, devil, you and me, yay. Not purposely. But anytime we listen or buy the lie of anything opposite what God says, we are coming in agreement. And the Bible says where two or more are gathered in agreement, so it will be. This is why it's important. This is the heart of why it's God's principle. It can work for us or against us if we will not do what He's asked us and promised and given us the ability to do. Then we can't blame others or ourselves or God or any. We can only blame ourselves for not getting to His word. Does that make sense? Psalms chapter 112. We read it a little bit before, but I want to read it out of the Living Translation Bible. Sorry. It says, praise the Lord. Excuse me, it's exclamation. Praise the Lord! That's better. For all who fear God and trust in Him are blessed beyond expression. Yes, happy is the man who delights in doing His commandments. There's a key. They're like, oh no, another rules thing. The rule is meditate on things that are lovely, good, and perfect, and wonderfully, and praiseworthy. That's not hard. I mean, that's not like a, you know, like, oh. It's not like when mom said, go clean your room. He says, you know what I need you to do? You need to get busy. What do I need to do? Think on good things. Huh. If we do that, verse 6 says, such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God's constant care of him will make him make a deep impression in all who he sees. He does not fear bad news nor live in dread of what may happen, for he is settled in his mind that Jehovah will care for him. And that's why he's not afraid, but can calmly face his foes and see them defeated in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, that you've thought of it all. You've laid it out for us so beautifully. Father, I pray that we would focus on you, lay our eyes on you. We would trust in you, just as we trusted in you by surrendering our lives that we would continue to do that daily. Father, I thank you. You promised that when we do it, as we do, you will overflow us with your presence and your power. And God, we'll see our enemies be defeated, the enemy of our soul be defeated in our life. That is the devil himself. God, forgive us for putting people in place of what the enemy has done. Putting the person's face or situation above who you are, God. And we'd see it for what it is, the enemy. But thank you, Father, you said that you've given us the keys to the kingdom and the promise that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. May we renew our mind to it. May we no longer conform to anything else but what you say. And Father, I thank you that you promise that you will carry us and that you have the final word. We win. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Gave us a lot to study and to work on this week. Amen. Gave me a lot to work on and study for sure. And excited. I was like, man, this is so good. This would be an Easter message. Next week. It's all right. There'll be something that he has to say next week too. Invite your friends, like they said, your enemies, your neighbors, invite people to connect with Christ. You know what's funny? This is the easiest time of the year because people are accustomed already in our world to do church on Resurrection Sunday or Easter. But what we know is that it might just be very much the appointment where they receive Christ. But if they're not asked, will they say yes? Would they do it? We have a cool responsibility that it says God's partnered with us. Say, hey, be connectors. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to tell them all. You don't have to just be an open and willing vessel for him. Amen. Remember when we received Christ, it was some of us, it was like, what? Whoa, cool. God so desires that for others. So if our mind is stayed on him, the more we're apt to hear him and be led by him. We're more apt to act like him. More apt to express attitudes that are more pleasing like him. But if we're not, well, we'll see. We declare in Jesus' name that we are who God says we are. Amen? Amen. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Not oh my, but amen, right? Amen. Let me just pray a blessing over you. It's good to see you, by the way. We've got a few guests today. Make sure that if you notice a guest that you say hello. We got to do have a gift for you if you're a guest. I want to say thank you. I hope you know that Jesus loves you and we do too. And whether you come as a guest, you leave as a family member. You're like, oh, if I'm only here for one day, it's okay. We'll still adopt you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Let me just pray a blessing over you. Father, just receive this today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these awesome people. God, I pray right now that you would reveal to them your love for them, your care for them, your heart for them. Father, all the while, I pray that no evil shall befall them, no plague will come nigh their dwelling. That you would send your angels to take charge over them and keep them, protect them in all that they are and all that they do. God, I pray that they would lean into you. They would listen to you, meditate on you, trust in you, Father, so you could reveal yourself strong in them. And now, Father, I pray in that mindset that now we believe your word says that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. And that everything we put our hand to would prosper. Father, we thank you for that now. We thank you for healings and restorations, breakthroughs in Jesus' name this week. And we call this week that, Father, through the invitation of Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, that we would call the advancement of your kingdom, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth right here in 54555 as it is in heaven. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen and amen. Amen. Come on, give him praise. He's good. He's awesome. And you are dismissed. Have a great week in Jesus' name.